Hello, hello. Good morning. So Daniel had a chance. He had an opportunity. Now, a couple years ago, there was a fight at an elementary school. Now, this elementary school involved a fight between a couple of boys, four boys, and these four boys were beating up a kid. And this kid got beat up was called Alan. Now, Alan, after he got beat up, he kept it to himself and did not let his parents know. But somehow his parents found out about that, and he was involved with a fight and he was bullied. So the parents went to the school. Alan's parents went to the school and filed a complaint. Now, when they file a complaint, or whenever you file a complaint to the school needs evidence in order to take up the complaint, or at least take it seriously. So because when Alan was beat up by four kids, it was at a corner where the teacher who was in charge of looking after the kids, or after the elementary school kids, the teacher wasn't able to see the incident. So the teacher cannot help Alan on that, because he can't be an evidence, he couldn't see it. So, however, Alan had two classmates that were there, and at least two classmates that witnessed this fight, this incident. So one of the witnesses is called Daniel. Now Daniel was given a chance. This is a chance, an opportunity of him to stand up for Alan, because the school asked Daniel whether he would want to stand up to be a witness and call on the four kids who beat up Alan. But Daniel's reaction was, "Why me? Why me?" So now the irony is that Daniel, his father was a pastor, so he grew up at a church. So he knew the teachings of God. I knew the teachings of Jesus. But it was his opportunity, his time, moment, to really be a good witness of Christ. It was his moment, but he blew it because he was afraid. He was uncomfortable because he feared that if he did this, if he stood up for Alan, he was afraid that the four kids who beat up Alan would beat him up as a revenge, or he was afraid that he would lose the connections or the social benefits with his classmates. So he rather kept silent. Now sometimes during our faith journey and our faith life, we may come to a call, or at a time where God would call us, at a time where we might feel fearful or uncomfortable, or at a time where we are afraid because we might lose something when we take up, when we respond to God's call. But when God calls us, we have a need to respond to Him faithfully. So the question is, how can we respond to God's call faithfully? How can we respond to God's call faithfully? That's our question today. Now, there was a lady who needed to make a very difficult situation at a very critical time. And this decision could cost her life. She could lose everything if she made this decision. First, we'll see how this lady seized the opportunity to serve God's people when she was called. And God does not depend on us, but rather He gives us chances. He gives us opportunities. And you will respond faithfully to God's call when He calls on you. So first, So our verse, our chapter today, our text today is Esther chapter 4. And this is the part where Esther received a call to save her people, and it could be costly. Please rise, everybody, please rise, and let's read this passage together with me. Esther chapter 4. When Mordecai learned all that had been done, Mordecai tore his clothes and put on sackcloth and ashes and went out into the midst of the city, and he cried out with a loud and bitter cry. He went up to the entrance of the king's gate, for no one was allowed to enter the king's gate clothed in sackcloth. And in every province, wherever the king's command and his decree reached, there was great mourning among the Jews, with fasting and weeping and lamenting, and many of them lay in sackcloth and ashes. When Esther's young woman and her eunuchs came and told her, the queen was deeply distressed. She sent garments to clothe Mordecai so that he might take off his sackcloth, but he would not accept them. When Esther called for Hathach, one of the king's eunuchs, who had been appointed to attend her, and ordered him to go to Mordecai to learn what this was and why it was, Hathach went out to Mordecai in the open square of the city in front of the king's gate. And Mordecai told him all that had happened to him and the exact sum of money that Haman had promised to pay into the king's treasuries for the destruction of the Jews. Mordecai also gave him a copy of the written decree issued in Susa for their destruction, and he might show it to Esther and explain it to her and command her to go to the king to beg his favor and plead with him on behalf of her people. And Hathach went and told Esther what Mordecai had said. And Esther spoke to Hathach and commanded him to go to Mordecai and say, all the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces know that if any man or woman goes to the king inside the inner court without being called, there is but one law: to be put to death, except the one to whom the king holds out the golden scepter, so that he may live. But as for me, I have not been called to come into the king these 30 days. And they told Mordecai what Esther had said. Then Mordecai told them to reply to Esther, do not think to yourself that in the king's palace you will escape any more than all the other Jews. For if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, go gather all the Jews to be found in Susa and hold a fast on my behalf, and do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my young woman will also fast as you do. Then I will go to the king, though it is against the law, and if I perish, I perish. Mordecai then went away and did everything as Esther had ordered him. You may all be seated. So as you have read, Esther took her opportunity to save her people. Now, the Jews were mourning for the possible massacre that would come upon them. So by this point in Israel's history, they were being ruled under the Persian Empire. And the context here was that Haman, one of the high courts, was planning to plot a massacre against the Jews. He wants to annihilate all the Jews because Mordecai did not bow down to him. And that caused Haman to make this plot. And when they found out about this, Mordecai and the Jews were in grief and were in terror. Now, when Mordecai wanted to tell Esther about it, he wasn't able to directly contact Esther. He was not allowed to enter through the king's gate to meet Esther. Now, the reason is because he was clothed in sackcloth. And sackcloth was a sign of mourning of the dead. So this would be considered ceremonially unclean to enter through the king's gate. So this is why he was outside of the gate. So when Esther received Mordecai's message, she learned about Haman's plot against Mordecai and the Jews. Now, she also is kind of in trouble too, because she's also a Jew. So she also knew that there were laws that could be an obstacle to help her people. It could cost her life. So meeting or getting access to the king was not as easy as you think it is back in the days, particularly under the Persian laws. The king was not approachable, because he was pretty busy in many, many areas and many things. Now, people, if they want to meet the king, they must be granted permission by the king or be summoned by him in order to meet him, in order to have an appointment with him, even with the wives. So this law also applies to all his wives and concubines. And Esther was not being called up by the king for the past month. So if anybody broke this law, they will be executed. They will be executed. So this was Esther's chance to risk her life for the sake of the Jews' deliverance. So when Esther's warning of the law was received by Mordecai, this was his reply. His reply to her was that she had no escape no matter what. So for Esther, this would be her catch-22 situation. Either way, it's a dead-end street for her. So if she doesn't risk saving the Jews, she herself could also be possibly killed, either by Haman or some surviving Jews, possibly. And now, if Esther stays silent and don't inform the king, someone else will do it. Someone else will come and save the Jews instead. So therefore, she ordered Mordecai and all the Jews to fast for 3 days. And this would include herself and her servants. Now, Esther did not see this as something that the Jews would depend on her, but instead she saw it as a chance, as an opportunity for her to serve God, to serve God's people by risking her life to break the law and meet the king. If she perish, she perish. If I perish, I perish. That was her statement. So she picked up God's call selflessly. So Esther took her opportunity to save her people. So does God really depend on our ability, on our will, in order for his work to be done? Well, God does not depend on us, but gives us opportunities. He gives us chances. When God calls us, it doesn't mean he is depending on us. Rather than thinking that it is a dependence on us, it is our opportunity. It is our chance. So when God places us at a certain place, at a certain time, at a certain position, he has a purpose. He has a plan. It's orchestrated upon him. It's from him. And when God calls us, it would often be times and situations that it will be ugly. It would be a time and situation that we won't feel comfortable. It's not a good time. And it's oftentimes a very bad situation. It's not a situation ideal for what we want. Now, I can share with you some of my experience. In my former church, when I was called, I was asked to fill in audio video IT position at the church. Now, by that time, I've been helping for that church for a couple of years with the sound system, pulling the sound system. That's all I know, and probably Pastor Naaman would know because I used to pull the faders for him. And we go way back, so probably I knew Pastor Naaman longer than any of you guys in this room. But he probably remembered this, but usually before the worship starts, if anything goes wrong, we usually go to the one of the pastors there, because one of the pastors, he has an engineering background and he knows how to fix stuff with the AV. He knows the engineering behind the AV stuff. And at least for me, I always go to him. And one day, he suddenly asked me, hey, the church, the guy who used to work at a position for the ITAV, the position, he had left. And for the past 7-8 months, the worship service in Sunday in all congregation is messed up. And we need someone to fill that shoes. We need someone to do it. Can you do it? And I told him, look, I don't know how to fix stuff. I just know how to open and close and pull the fader. That's it. I said, look, I don't know how to do this. I don't feel comfortable. And he promised me, don't worry, I'll walk you through it. And I wasn't comfortable, but I took it. Because the message that I got was, if I don't do it, someone else will. So I took up the post. And that paved the way for me to go to seminary and get trained and work in professional ministry. So responding to God's call requires selflessness. It requires selflessness and self-sacrifice of oneself. It's a call, or it's a response of self-denial, the self-denial response. Now remember, Jesus sacrificed his life on the cross for us. Jesus took the call from God the Father to be tortured, to be crucified on the cross for the sake of the salvation of all us sinners. And that's the epitome of one taking up God's call selflessly. And God's call could be risky. It could be scary. But part of taking up God's calling is to deny ourselves. This is why God often calls the lowly ones, the lowly people, the ones we probably like to despise, we probably don't look up to, who have no status in society, who have no status in church. Mostly because they've got nothing else to lose. Standing up for righteousness and justice may cause us to be disliked or even be hated. We may gain a lot of haters for doing that. But at the end of the day, everything is under God's hands, and that's fine. That's okay. Because everything is under God's hands. So how can you respond to God's call faithfully? Well, selflessly take up God's call to serve others for his righteousness. When God calls you, see this as an opportunity. See this as a chance. See this as a moment for you to take up God's opportunity that he had given to you. It may seem like people had to depend on you if you're the only choice. But don't see this situation that way. If you don't take up the call and serve God's people when they are in need, someone else will do it. Someone else will take up the call. And someone else may have the credit and be participate in God's glory. So respond to God's call selflessly. In times of troubles, doing the righteous things, it may cost you, such as standing up for someone or your brothers or a sister in Christ who are oppressed. And that may bring calamity in you. That may bring you trouble. You may burn some bridges. You may lose connections. You may lose friendships. You may sacrifice stability. You may sacrifice comfort. You may even sacrifice financially. You may lose a lot of what you could have. But let me remind you that if it is for God, if it is for God, it is totally worth it. It is worth it. So selflessly take up God's call to serve others for His righteousness. Now Esther took her chance to serve her people when God called her. She took her chance to save the Jews selflessly. God doesn't depend on us, but rather He gives us an opportunity, He gives us a chance. And be selfless to take up God's call for His righteousness. Now, Daniel had his moment. He had his opportunity. He had his chance of his time to witness to Christ for his classmates, for his unbelieving classmates, to stand up for Alan. But Daniel instead gave up the chance. He rather stayed silent and not be a witness for Alan because he was afraid. He was uncomfortable. He was calculating that if he does that, he might get revenge. He might lose connection or lose friendships with his bullying classmates if they found out that he was one of the witnesses for Alan. However, does that mean Alan had no righteousness or justice for this time? Now remember, Alan had two witnesses. One of them was Daniel, and the other one was Stephen. Now, the irony with Stephen is that his parents were not Christians. His parents were not Christians. But Stephen knew that he had to do things in righteousness. He needs to give Alan a justice. At least he needs to act just for Alan. And he believed that standing up for Alan was the right action, was the right move, was the right thing to do. He wasn't afraid that if he did this, it would cause his connection or friendship with the four bullying classmates. He wasn't afraid that if he pointed them out, he would get revenge from his four classmates. He didn't care. His mentality was, doesn't matter if anything happens to me. He believes he needs to stand up for Alan. And he did that. And he stood up for Alan, and the school disciplined the four bullying classmates. Now, we may sometimes stumble like Daniel because of fear and discomfort and things that could cause us or could cause us to lose something. But in this lesson, we should learn from Stephen's action, his selfless action that had helped bring justice, really God's justice and righteousness for Alan. Let's bow our heads and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, forgive us our weaknesses, as sometimes we may fall into a stumbling point, a moment of weakness where we are afraid, we are uncomfortable to take up your call, to stand up for righteousness and justice, particularly for your people. We give thanks for the book of Esther, your word, to remind us of how to respond to your call faithfully, how to respond to your call correctly, which is to be selfless, to have self-denial mentality to receive your call, to serve you. And Lord, may the Spirit help us to remind us throughout this week about your message today. And we pray in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.